Happy Sunday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the undisclosed location, default route on a weekend. I usually take the alternate routes on the weekend, but this Sunday I kind of broke things up a little. And one of the things I did is I'm up early, out getting my steps in on the weekend. Whereas when I'm usually at the undisclosed location, I'll lay in bed, wake up like 6:30 in the morning, get about 2 hours, really. I'm starting to realize it's like 2 hours just laying in the bed, you know, not necessarily watching TV, though I might have cut it on just to look at the Olympics for a quick second. Not so much watching TV, but kind of scrolling through my Facebook and looking at stuff I might need to do or not need to do, and, you know, doing administrative chores, managing life, and just kind of enjoying the quiet. And I also realized too, a little while ago, that one night I just stayed up late because I was enjoying spending time with myself. It was just so pleasurable just to spend time with myself that I stayed up late. And by late, I mean like 1:30, 2 a.m. Like 1:30, 2 a.m., 2:30 or something like that. And the only thing I wanted to do was just be in the quiet, lay on my bed, and just kind of, you know, just like play on the phone, or look at my music, scroll through my files, look at pictures, you know, that I took or whatever, you know, just data, manage, look at my data, and just enjoy that time and quiet to myself. And I think that's what I want to say that I may or may not need more of, but I don't know if that's true or not. But it sounds good. It seems like that's the proper soundbite for this situation. But it's Sunday, it's hot, it's 85 degrees. Woke up this morning, 216.4. Went to bed last night, 218.6, which was exactly what it was last week, I repeated that again purposely. I purposely repeated that again. The cliche definition of insanity is to repeat the same behavior and expect different results. It kind of hit me when I thought that the numbers that I've been getting lately are consistent. How can I have the same, way in that I did last week? And it might not be so bad if I didn't feel or think, I'm not going to say believe, if I didn't feel or think I was putting in some dietary work. I feel like, you know, I was doing some stuff to where the number should have came down. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to tighten it up. And then also, though, I mean, exactly, 218.6, exactly the same number when I went to bed last night. And yesterday I did my weekend routine where I wake up, lay in the bed for a little while, then end up couple hours getting up, going to get something to eat, eating, and then taking a nap, and then getting up and doing my steps. But today, what I did was, I laid in bed for a couple hours just chilling. Then when I finally got up, I just got dressed and took off. No water, no food, no nothing, no brush your teeth, just get out. And I even put on my long sleeve shirt to punish myself because I want them numbers better so I can sweat and get that low number. Now, yesterday I did that. Now, yesterday I did it, you know, the weekend way where I got up at 8, went and got a pizza from Walmart, neighborhood Walmart, the Walmart grocery store. They got like a Walmart, I think it used to be called Walmart Green, I'm not sure, but it's like a Walmart grocery store. And they had this deli-made pizza. I believe it's a deli-made pizza, you know, take and bake. So I went and got one of those. Big 16-inch pizza, too. Walmart is a beast. Big-ass 16-inch pizza for like $10, supreme. It was good. Still got a lot of it left, too. Didn't even eat a lot of it. You know, so I ate that. And I had some cake, too. I think I ate a little square of lemon cake. And then I think I rolled over and ate another piece of pizza. But I didn't really eat a lot of that pizza. A lot of that pizza's still in there. And I had Cheetos, chips, and tortilla chips. Stater Brothers brand, Craven or whatever. I had my meal. I felt good. Roll over in the bed. TV, air conditioner, comfortable, you know. Roll over, fell asleep, took a nap, woke up. Got up, did my steps. Walked about 14,000 steps. And then when I came back, I came back and doing my cool down because it was so hot that I come in the air conditioning, you know, and the walk that I do on the weekend on the alternate route is a lot longer. Well, maybe not a lot, but it's longer. So that walk, I give myself some time to recover. Not like the default walks that I do before work, where as soon as I get through finished with them, I'm just like, I get back, boom, 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 undress, shower, boom, breakfast, boom, you know, keep going, get ready for work. This one I kind of stopped and took a breath, took off my wet, sweaty clothes, shirt anyway, and I had on shorts, so, you know, wasn't so bad. And just kind of sat in the chair and kind of let myself calm down. But while I was doing that, before I weighed myself, I didn't drink any water. I deliberately didn't drink any water. I even, while I was downstairs, made a big-ass jug, of ice-cold water, put ice cubes in it, took it upstairs, and did not drink any until I got on that scale. And that was after I had my little cool-down period. Again, spending time with myself. Just spending that little time with myself, enjoying it, you know, being in that feeling, how it feels to having walked, and the sweat, and the exhale, the sense of accomplishment, the air conditioning, just the, you know, experiencing what it is just to be. Experiencing being, I guess. And then when I finally did get on the scale, I went, you know, I checked it out. And it was the same, it was 213 something, which is basically the same numbers I've been getting consistently, same numbers last week. And then again, let me interject real quick about that. Staying out here at the undisclosed location at Mother's house. I don't know about y'all, but when you go to Mother's house, it's just natural to eat. It's just natural to be lazy and eat. Even, you know, with the situation kind of changed to where I'm kind of caregiving and it's not, you know, so much of her nurturing me and spoiling me. It's more like me definitely not nurturing or spoiling her. I got a problem with that. And you know what? I can't help it. I mean, I probably could, but I just, I do what I do, you know, but I can't act like I like it. I can't act like it's fun to me. Cause I came downstairs and I was like, hey, you know, I know she's going to. And it's on me. I know she's going to ask me to do something. I know it. And I should know better. But still, I'm like, oh, is there anything else? And I said, until I go to the store. And she'll say, oh, I don't want nothing. And I'll turn around and walk away. Oh, yeah. Can you get me? Okay. I'm leaving a job. And this and that. And then she said, ice cream. And I went, oh, God. You know, half in jest, half in like, you know, not bewilderment, but, you know, it's like an, oh, God, here we go, you know. I just let that out. And I'm not sure how she took it, but I was thinking about it, you know. I was thinking about what she said. Well, you know, when you do that, I picture her saying, oh, when you do that, it bothers me. Because, you know, I can't, you know, do for myself, and it feels bad that I can't do for myself. And for you to act like, you know, that. I said, okay, you know, I understand your feelings. But when I went, oh, God, that was mine. That's how I felt. We keeping it real here or not? You got to keep it real? That was me keeping it real. I still did it, but I ain't go for once act like I like it. That just ain't the way I'm built. I'm not built that way. I'm not gonna act like I like it. And then even thinking more on that, how easy are we, or am I, supposed to make a person's life? You know, how much of the responsibility of another person's accommodations in life is another person supposed to take on? I definitely, this might be an excuse, but I think this has to be valid. A valid argument or statement that you don't want to start doing too much for somebody because it's almost crippling them. You know, because she's in a state where, you know, she don't get out at all. You know, very limited in the people she see and talk to. And it's like the few people that she does, you know, interact with are tasked with filling her life. And how much of that responsibility do we got to push back on them? How much responsibility do we take, you know, and just be that complete comfort and accommodator and just do everything? There has to be an unhealthy balance. There has to be a line where you cross where it's unhealthy. You know, I think people in that situation need to be uncomfortable sometimes, need to understand that there's certain things they still need to do, need to understand a lot of this responsibility is still on them. You know, regardless of their health situation, you know, be it through injury or debilitation or whatever, you know, how much do other people go? And I bet you can probably even ask a nurse, you know, nurse come in, a guy come in, or whoever, say, hey, can you hand me my water? And nurse probably say, no, you got to get your own water. It's only so much, you know, you can do for a person. And that's just, you know, like handing water physically. What about emotionally? You know, how much is somebody else supposed to be there emotionally for another person, regardless of the situation? You know, how much is too much? There has to be a line that where you're just absolutely just doing too much for them. And it can be almost crippling. And then all of a sudden they depended on you. And that's one thing that I inherently and probably naturally will not ever let happen to me. It's just something in my gut. As soon as I see somebody almost halfway latching on too much, I'm like, yup. Look, I don't want you to get your feelings hurt by thinking I'm this or thinking I'm that. You know, I don't want you to think that, you know, I am this or I'm that. I was talking to my keyboard player, Mark. He was, you know, he has a personality and I have a personality. We're probably completely different. And our outlooks and everything. It actually makes it kind of fun. Because we can go back and forth. He's definitely way more sensitive than I am. And I understand that. So, and over my years of experience, I've learned to pull back and, you know, to gauge, you know, my responses or how I provoke or, you know, my Jeffrey being Jeffrey stuff. But he was saying something about, you know, how, he was saying something about I was this, I was that, that I felt this way about him or I felt that way about this. And I was like, for that to be true, I would have to care about you. I mean, I was like, for that to be true, you would have to be a blip on the radar. I'm like, for me to have those kind of feelings that you're saying that I may or may not have, that means you or the situation would have to be significant enough for me to even notice. And, you know, I was joking, but I wasn't. You know, and I think black people do that a lot, too. Black people think, why do you want to get him? Why do you care about this? Why do you just want to keep him down? Why do you, you know, oh, white man want, you know, he hates you. White man do this. I'm thinking white people ain't even thinking about half y'all niggas. I'm thinking white folks ain't even thinking about half y'all niggas all the time. Y'all the ones worried about it. They out living their life, thinking this, thinking that. They ain't even thinking about y'all. As much stuff as I hear black people talk about white people this, white people that, I'm like, it's no way in hell that all these white people sitting around thinking about y'all that much. That's ego. Or that's paranoia, one of them, or something. Because I'm like, for them to be doing these things that you think white people do under the guise of racism and white supremacy and all that, you actually gotta, they would actually have to, you'd have to actually be a blip on their radar. And you ain't. They don't give a damn about you. And that means, and that's not a bad thing. They just don't care. Or they just don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'll say it again. Apathy is one of the most underrated parts of happiness there is. You need a certain amount of apathy because you can't care about everything. You'll drive yourself crazy. So I told them that, and I thought that was a good one. And I had a good laugh, you know, and all that about that. Because I was like,
oh, selfie game on.
You know, I was, you know, I had a good laugh about that. Because, you know, we go back and forth. But I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I'll tell this story again. When that time I went to New York, I was in New York, and people knew I was in New York, and there was a shooting in New York, and people hitting me up. Are you okay, Jeffrey? Are you okay? Jeffrey, you okay? I heard there was a shooting in New York. You okay? I'm like, stop. Don't do that. I'm not that person. No, don't. No, we ain't like that. You ain't, me and you, no, stop. Do not do that. I'm not going to be a part of your worrying or your concern. No. Well, I was just worried. Well, that's on you. Don't bring me in it. But I was worried about you. I didn't ask for that. And in fact, I'm asking you not to do that. I was like, so that, you know, you got to let people know. And like with the mother said, remember the old ring the phone? We used to tell the babies, it's Brent and Nancy when they go home. Ring the phone when you get home. And they live like 3 houses down the street. You know, it'd be at night and everything. And they live like 3 houses down the street. And they would call and ring the phone when they got home. You know, don't even got to pick it up. Just ring it once, you know. I'm like, nope, I ain't that either. I be traveling all over the world. I be good. I be doing this. I be doing that. I ain't got time to be checking in, letting folks know I'm okay. Best you could do is check my Facebook feed. I pretty much put everything on there. I pretty much put every place I go on there. I got stuttered and stammered a little bit because I was thinking, going to another subject of how I take pictures of everything. Everything I do, I take pictures of. It's about everything. And I know people who just don't do that. I'm like, how can you have done this and not taken any pictures? You know, there's been rare opportunities where I didn't take a picture for whatever reason. And I say, oh, well, I didn't take any pictures. You know, I look back, but it's rare. Usually everything I do, I take a picture of it. And just to have it, down in digital, to have that, capture that moment. Because I do think, and I feel that my moments are precious. It's about every moment, everything I do or something, I can find something in it. And I want it to be captured. And in capturing it like that, simple click of a, you know, a phone, and I'm so used to having my phone in my hand and, you know, taking pictures, I got the whole, you know, process and steps down to click, click, the, you know, the button, just pop, you know, pop off a picture. You know, I ain't got to stop and focus, use 2 hands or nothing. Just like boom, 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 boom. So it's easy for me to just take a picture, just whatever, you know, in the moment. And then also from that, I can scroll back through my pictures and see what the hell I've done. I can scroll back through my pictures and see, you know, pretty much, you know, the things I've done during the day or during the week or for the last month. So, oh, I forgot I went there. Oh, and in fact, that's how I do my events page. On my webpage, I got a page called Events. It used to be called Subjective Experience, but that name was too long, so I just call it Events. And what I do is, I just simply go to my pictures, and I scroll back through them and see where I was and what I did. And then I enter it in the events thing. So, not sure why I went down that street, We're talking about events, pictures, documenting, stuff. What? I forgot why I went down that street. But anyway, that's that. I think I was talking about, being dependent on somebody. You know, not having them worry about you. You got to call them, tell them you're okay. You know, the human, maybe natural, social gregarious tendencies of the group to want to, you know, worry or be concerned or feel better. And when they know all their people and this and that. And yeah, I'm on the outside. I'm the outlier. I'm the one who's on the fringe, the abnormal one. Yeah, I'm the abnormal one. It's me. And I can accept that. And I definitely embrace it. I'm probably proud of it. I'm definitely proud of it. I've always been proud of being that one on the outside, even second, third grade. I had no problem standing alone. I had no problem standing alone on something that I felt was correct or right, or even better, even sometimes that I didn't understand. I had no problem being contrary if it was something I didn't understand. And I had no problem standing there asking the question to adults, to anybody. Then over time I learned that sometimes it's better to be liked than it is to be right. And you can do that just by not saying anything. You can do that just by, you know, smiling. And you ain't got to make it at all like a sarcastic smile, like, you know I'm smarter than you and I know better and you know I don't believe that bullshit you talking. You know, you ain't even got to do it that way. You can do it the quote unquote right way. There is no right or wrong, you know. You can do it that way. You know, just put people at ease. And you can also do it in a way that where you just give in and say, oh, whatever. You know, to aggravate them. To antagonize them even more. You know, you might win the point. And sometimes you want to antagonize somebody. Sometimes you want to get them back. Sometimes white people want to call you a nigger because they want to hurt you. That's what war is about. That's what war and battling is about. If we're in a war and you're trying to kill me or I hate you, or we're in a moment, something flared up, whether it be, you know, in the moment or long term, if I hate you, I'm going to try to do everything I can to hurt you as much as I can. And if I'm white, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to call you a nigger, even if I don't know how to say it right. Because I know that's going to hurt you. And the black people say, you can't use that word. That's like going to war and saying, okay, we're at war, but you can't do that. No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. We at war. Okay, I can't do it. What you going to, and all they're going to say, I can't do it. What you going to do about it, nigger? Huh, nigger? Come here. What you going to do? You don't like it? Come get some. That's where it, sometimes it escalates to. And you can't legislate or regulate that. That's just emotion. One-on-one, me and you. Let's go. You're going to tell me I can't use the word. I use it. Step. Come get some. Really not sure how I went down that street. Oh, maybe because, you know, when I deal with people being liked, maybe I told my niece that when she first day she went to school. I said, you're going to have to fight. I said, you're going to like school. One day you're going to have to fight. Eventually, you're going to have to get in the fight and fight somebody. And sometimes it's better to be liked than it is to be right. So, you know, that was that. That's where I got that from. And me, let's be honest. Dare I be honest? I'm liked. I know I'm liked. People like me. I got a good personality. I'm non-judgmental. I talk a lot of shit. I'm crazy. I'm open. You know, I carry myself respectability. I can be trusted. I'm honorable. If I say something, I mean it. I look at you in the eye. All of that. There's something about my energy and who I am and who I am that I wouldn't say is attractive. It probably is attractive, but that's not what I meant. It's just put people at ease and easy going. People open up to me. It's always been that way. So I have a confidence with it that where, you know, people just get comfortable with me. And since I'm so used to it, I can do it like, not like second nature, but I can do it without effort. And that really helps people really relax and just fall into something, you know, just fall in. Like, I walk into a room of white people. I'm not thinking, oh, these hunkies hate me. These white folks hate niggers. Oh, God, these white people, are they so prejudiced? I know they're looking at me funny. They're looking at my hair. They can't stand the way I talk. No, I walk in there, hey! And that's the energy I get back. I walk in there, like, hey, y'all, what's up? Now, if I look around and I see I ain't getting that back, I adjust. You know, you adjust. When in Rome, act like the Romans. Or just leave. Simple. So, and once I was talking about me, what was I saying? Talking about me being, you know, getting along in harmony. The word is harmony. The word is harmony. Forget about being liked. You know, I mean, you can, you know, like or whatever. But the word is harmony. You know, I strive to achieve harmony with everybody and everything around me. I strive to achieve harmony with everybody and everything around me. And in that, I celebrate that success with the dance or something like that. Very pathetic. I liked it. And I celebrate that success with the dance, which I haven't done in a while. Which I really haven't done in a while. And I've kind of gotten away from listening to music too, which I don't know what kind of effect that has on me. But I kind of got away from listening to music and how music can move my spirit energy and make me feel a certain way or not. I used to listen to P-Funk in the car, and it would get my energy like way, way, way up, you know? I listened to P-Funk in the car, and that would just take my energy up to like plus 10. You know, getting in the groove and dancing, you know, driving, celebrating the music. So I signed up for TikTok yesterday. Well, I reinstalled the app, I should say. And we're just kind of looking at it this morning. The more you use it, the better it gets. And one thing I did like about TikTok and was impressed with was the algorithm was amazing. Some of the stuff that was coming back to me was brilliant and just next level. It was to the point it was like, how do they know what's so good? How do they know what's so good? And the reason I disabled it is because I was getting too many notifications. I didn't feel like or didn't manage the notifications correctly. I didn't feel like figuring it out, so I just uninstalled it. Same way with Twitter. I just logged back into my Twitter account yesterday just to take a look. You know, just to scroll, you know what I mean? Because I got Paramount Plus, you know, the TV movie channels, Paramount Plus, MGM Plus. My niece gave me Hulu yesterday. I got Max, and I got Peacock, and I got Netflix, and I got Prime, and I got NFL Sunday Ticket, and I got NFL Plus on my phone. What was I gonna say? I quit YouTube Premium. I said, forget it. I don't want YouTube Premium no more. I don't use it. And I'm thinking, I got an NFL Sunday ticket, all the out-of-market games. I'm going to be on Sunday, NFL Sunday ticket. And the rest of the games, I just throw up an antenna on my TV and get. Or if I'm out, I'm not sure how that's going to work. Say I'm out someplace, and I'm at a TV. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll figure it out. But then again, I do think that I was able to watch ABC 7, ABC, CBS, and NBC stations through the internet. I could have swore I did. Oh, you know what I did? I logged in with my provider. I got Spectrum Internet. And it allowed me to get access to ABC or CBS, one of those stations, using my login. And it wasn't like the login I thought it was. It wasn't my usual default. It was like a Mitchell something Roadrunner at Spectrum login. I didn't even know I had it. I didn't even know that I had it. And I went to log in, and my password manager suggested that password for that Spectrum login. I was like, okay, whatever. And let me in, and sure enough, I'm starting watching ABC. So, you know, stuff is out there, and I like that. Stuff is out there for us. I like that. The opportunities to experience and to the tools, the information, the data, basically apps, internet connectivity. It's powerful. And it's like right down exactly what I think I'm tuned for. Now, either I tune myself to be with that, which is definitely some. I probably evolved and tuned myself, you know, to really utilize this stuff and to really get into it and to grow with it. And, you know, ever since I got that first crystal radio when it was electronics, ever since then, I've been wires and, you know, connections and gadgets and transistors and capacitors, resistors. And then when the computers came, I was very attracted to computers. Computers came, I was like, this is it. I started teaching myself. Bought my own computer and finally went back to school formally. Got educated, got trained on the government, which I will say, government program. I forget what's the name of that program. WIP, WPTA or something PT. I forget what it was. Work assistance program or something. Where they sent me back to school, trained me. I did that. Pulled my 401k in 95. Figured out a way that I could go a whole year. Go a whole year without working. Go to two schools. Get a bachelor's degree. And a certificate for networking. Rest is history. Rest is history. Long story short, now I'm doing help desk for a very prestigious, what time is it? Look at the train, 10:42. Probably run every 40 minutes, every 20 minutes, close to Sunday, I don't know. Remember, it's usually on 10:02. Very prestigious law firm, help desk, and the elite. Definitely part of the elite of the organization as far as technology goes. Our position in it is right between the user. We're between the user, the local techs. Well, the local techs go directly to the user. Desktop support, what I used to do when I first started, because I wasn't 100% phones. In fact, I had no phone experience. So I went to Providence Tarzana and got trained on the phones. I remember my boss there, she was training me, she said, no paper, don't put nothing, no pen and paper. So when I learned help desk, that means 100% phones, answering phones and directing calls, doing all that. No paper, I never had paper. Never wrote anything down. Either you put it in a note, put it in a notepad on your computer or a spreadsheet or something, or actually in the ticket, actually in the service tickets you get. I learned how to do that. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I saw a guy using pen and paper. I was like, what's that? He actually had a spiral, like one of those vertical spiral binders, you know, with the like green pages and lines and a spiral at the top, portrait kind of layout tablet. And he had a pen. You could see he did a lot of writing in it. You could tell. So yeah. I was like, you don't look like a pen and person, pen and paper kind of guy. Tree killer. What, you hate the earth? So I allow, you know, I'm dancing with the big dogs. I'm doing help desk at a global company. And with my performance rating, my rapport, my standing, I could probably go anywhere, any company, and get a job doing this. Working from home or whatever, you know, just everything. I'm set. But I know I ain't gonna say I'm set, because that sounds a little too confident, a little too complacent. But plus I wanna not go nowhere. I wanna retire from this place. Seven years. 10 months, July, August. Yep, 7 years, 10 months tomorrow. July, August, yep. 7 years, 10 months tomorrow, August 4th. Every 4th, I'm gonna start counting it out. I'll be 70 years old and get that maximum Social Security. So, that's where I'm at now, and I love my job. You know, I love my job, and I think things are starting to evolve there for me naturally because of my just natural outspokenness and personality and command of the technology. It's almost like I'm being, the forces of life are pulling me towards something that I may or may not want to be. I just want to stay at level one. I just want to stay a level one analyst. I don't want to be a level two. I don't want no responsibility. I just want to stay in the minor league. No, oh, this ain't the minor league. No way, it's in the pros. We're definitely in the pros. So this is I'm on the team. I'm definitely not a backup. Special teams. Yeah, let me see, I'm on the team. I'm a player, so what I consider supervising would be coaching. Supervising would definitely be coaching. Team captain, I don't even know if I want to be that. That could be like a level two, but there's so many level twos now. Or team lead, I'm not sure if I even want that. Because my thing is, I don't want to be responsible for anybody else's feelings. That's me, I don't want to be responsible for somebody else's feelings. Even though I know all the rules, hell, I even police people. I just naturally police people because I just adhere to the rules and I know how things are supposed to be done. And I can read and I know, I just got too much experience in management, seeing managers. Not direct experience in being a manager, but seeing managers. My bachelor's degree is in technical management. Just my understanding, my rapport with people, how sensitive I am to them. Not that that sensitivity, not that I react to that sensitivity or that sensitivity affects me so much that I am aware if somebody's uncomfortable. I may be aware somebody didn't like that. I can judge by the, you know, I can see that and judge by the reaction, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of pushing me towards a role that I can see it happening, where I'm just naturally evolving to some kind of leadership position. Just based on, and based on the respect that I get, you know? And not so much for being, you know, just, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it go. Me being me, I always was the one who could, you know, I was always the, like, the top guy's right-hand man. I can get, our little group, our little gang we run around, not gang gang, but you know, like our little crowd or group that we run around in the echelons of the social circles of school or this or that or that. I was always the top guy's right-hand man. And I was cool with that, I think. I was cool with that because I could run, I was running things. I was running things and didn't have to enforce it. Now that I think about it, that's kind of how it went. That's kind of how it is. I'll be vice president. You do the work. I'll be the brains of this thing. You be the front. You had the juice. It took me probably a little while to get to a point where my ego and understanding was able to handle that. Now, that's true. It maybe took me a while before I was able to get to a point that where I could accept that, being that person, not being, you know, getting all the accolades directly, not being the one picture on the cover of the magazine, blah, blah, blah. But now I think I said before, I've got to a point where I've accomplished, I've done this, I've done that, I'm satisfied. Well, satisfied might not be the word. I'm content with my accomplishments. I feel I've not done enough, but my voice has been heard. My talent has been displayed. I've been rewarded for it. It's been acknowledged. My talent has been acknowledged. My capability has been acknowledged. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. It, all the way from P-Funk to atheism, because atheism was one of the first things that stood out for me, to me, that needed to be changed or adjusted or addressed as far as my beliefs being disrespected in the public. And I believe I was a big part of that revolution. I believe that I was, you know, I played a significant part in that. And then once, you know, that got to a point that where, hey, okay, we won. Next. And one of them was when Obama said non-believers in his speech. I remember. He said believers and non-believers. I remember that. I screamed when he said that. I was like, yes. I was like, yes, yes, yes. He said, believers. And that's because that was back when, before any of that was even acknowledged. You know, to even, you could even speak about atheism or not believing in God. And it was so many people who had never even heard of it. They had never even, a lot of people had never even heard of somebody who didn't believe in God, never, let alone met anybody, never even knew. And I think that might have been me when I first encountered Michael Stivic of All in the Family, Meathead. He was an atheist. I was like, what? There's a thing, there's people, there's a name, a distinction of people who don't believe in God? What? Because I was already leaning that direction anyway. And then to have that come and say, what? And I was told many times, many, many, many times, when the video I made went viral, that I opened up a lot of people's eyes. I was the one who showed them that you don't have to believe, you don't have to be angry, you don't have to, you know, be malice or hard or fight or, you know, just be combative. You can just not believe and answer their questions. That's what I did in the video. They was like hitting me up. about the belief, my beliefs. And I just came back at him, you know, without getting mad. You know, just being, you know, hey. You know. And they was like, wow, I was the inspiration for a lot of people. And it's documented. And so, stuff like that gets me to where I feel accomplished and set, acknowledged and accomplished, and I feel recognized. I guess I could put it that way. So I'm cool being, you know, a level one analyst. Being on the lowest rung in an elite group. Being the lowest rung on a league group, my daughter just messaged me. I got a bunch of messages coming in. I can see them pop up and go away. I should stop, take a look. It's probably, you know, nothing big or whatever, you know. But they're like family chats and people in Denmark and the such. And my daughter. And it looked like my daughter messaged me in the non-family chat. Because, you know, everybody's supposed to have different chats. You should have different groups, you know, because you got to have your groups broke down. Sometimes you want to say something when you don't want somebody else to hear. So I'm in, you know, a few broken down by, you know, family dynamics groups and stuff. I'm sure other people are in a lot more, but, you know, it's the main one that I use and such. And then there's the other one that I use, like, with my ex-wife. I guess I call them my ex-wife and kids groups. Probably it's mostly my ex-wife, because all my kids are in all other groups. But it's like we have a separate groups that my ex-wife is in, and my daughter's in-laws, can I put it that way? And that side, and for the, you know, for a granddaughter, you know, and it just kind of works out. You kind of settle into, you know, groups. Just kind of settle in. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Anyway, I keep turning this thing off and turning it back on because I don't want all that commentary to go poof with the phone overheating. And I literally just cut it off and cut it back on out of just anxiety, because the only thing I want to do now is just say that I'm swinging on y'all and get out of here. Thank you for walking with me today. This makes my walk go a lot faster, probably a lot more pleasurable and enjoyable, because I know I'm doing something, I'm being productive, I'm getting something down in the digital. I'll stick it into my other 638 videos, in a folder with 638 video and audio files that need to be processed and posted to Facebook, transcribed, and turned into audio podcasts to be posted to the Spotify's and the Apple TVs and the such. I love it. I love the mechanism I got in place. The assembly line. The pipeline. Everybody want to be on Jeffrey TV. The pipeline that I got. The process in place. Just got to act on it. I got all the tools. I got the laptop. I could be sitting there doing it on my laptop while I'm watching TV. You know, for my free time. I don't know if I'm lazy or resting or whatever, but I'm definitely not going hard. I'm definitely not going hard at it as I've had in the past on certain things. Certain things I go hard to where, you know, it's on. It's just like, you know, put my head down and just work at it. Just knock it out. For whatever reason, I'm not motivated to do that on that. And at work, because of my work, 40-hour week work, the focus and intensity that I the standard that I want to maintain there so that I can maintain my high performance rating. Because even though I may be at a lower rung in the elite group, I'm in the lower rung in the elite group, I'm a top performer in that group. I'm consistently a top performer in that group. And I pride myself on that. And then, and the kids coming in today, and the kids, I'm talking about 20, some under 30 year old kids coming in, you know, they're hungry, they're smart, energy, you know, they're ambitious, they're dedicated, so they're going to put in more work, they're going to put in more time, more effort. You know, I got to compete with them now, because I'm old and I'm somewhat complacent. You know, there's no doubt about that. I'm old and I'm definitely somewhat complacent. Though I ain't gonna bust, I'm only gonna bust my ass so much. Even though I love that job is number one priority to me. It's only so far I'm gonna go. It's only so far I'm gonna go, even for myself. It's only even so much I'm gonna do for Jeffrey. And I'm not saying everything in moderation, but I'm only gonna do what I wanna do at any given moment. And who's to say? Because I go hard for Jeffrey, but I really don't. Because I could put my head down and just crush him shit if I wanted to. You know, if I really wanted to, I know I could do some amazing stuff. But there's a balance. Would I be happy? Is my happiness worth that, but is, how does that, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. So, and that may be the goal. The goal may be to be happy and not so much to get work done. Maybe if I was unhappy because I wasn't getting work done, it would still go back to being happy because I'm happy. I'm the happiest. No, to be the happiest, I think, may be the goal. To be the happiest is probably the goal. And the different aspects of your happiness, which is subjective to you and up to every individual, completes you. Whatever it is that's going to make you happy. Maybe it might be for me doing these podcasts. For me, it's Jeffrey TV. For me, it's Pete Funk. For me, it's the Steelers. You know, if I can consume those things, consume my passions, exercise my passions, that's what makes me happy. And if being lazy on the weekends is one of my passions, you know, if working 80%, I achieve a balance. I mean, because I could go like 100%. I can just like turn on and just get all this knocked out and just become a superhero. I've done that before. I've turned on, just was on fire. And it felt good. It really did. It felt good. And the reward was good. And I was operating at a higher frequency. I was focused. I was also told more than once that I wasn't as fun. That people liked me better when I was smoking weed and more chill. You know, not because I was probably, you know, mean enough. I was probably just more direct, you know, less fluid. Maybe it could be a word. Just, you know, more direct, more focused, you know. Had my eye on the prize. Just tore it up. Got it done. Every waking moment. And then your body starts to adrenalize over that. That's what makes you happy. That's what makes you feel good. You get up and start banging on it. And your body adjusts to that. And that's what you crave. Wake up, I got to get back to it. I got to get back to it, you know. And that is what made me feel good at that point in time. So, and that contributed to my happiness at that moment. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be, totality of it all, hypothesis of all as one. Theory of universe. My name is Jeffrey.